Have you ever eaten 5 or 10 times the calories you thought you were because of a deceptive nutrition label? Probably, but not after you've heard today's show. Nutrition labels and much, much more today on episode 66 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to show number 66. So how are you doing this week, Russ? I hear you just came back from a little mini vacation.
I did. Here over last weekend was the Memorial Day weekend. And so we spent about, 18 hours, half each way, driving to visit family in Tucson, Arizona. And so it was a very nice time, nice and dry, nice and hot, a lot of pool time, trip to the zoo. It was overall a great time.
So keeping it real, how did that affect your weight loss this week?
Party! No, we had a good time. Around Friday night, and I realized that the wheels are coming off the cart, and it's going to be a holiday. It's going to be a real vacation here. And so there wasn't a lot of calorie counting. I did try to keep it under control a little bit, but out to eat. And the kids, wanted to go to the fun places, and those have a little more calories. So keeping it real, let's get into it.
So after all of the excuses here, last week you were 237. How are you now?
Yeah. Excuses. 238 and a half this week. So I had a good weekend. Actually, you know what? A lot of that it was driving. Trying to stay awake. I don't remember from Riverside to Long Beach. I don't remember three quarters of that. What happened? I was so tired. So eating to keep myself awake, that was one thing. Drinking a lot of water. So yeah, 238 and a half. So and it was every pound, every little ounce was well earned there.
Well, I guess I'll give you a little bit of a break this week because you did have a little bit of a different week. But of course, for the next show, you will be back. Hopefully, a little bit lower than what you were last show, right?
Hopefully, yeah, that'd be great. But otherwise, on my goals, eating goals are great. 7 out of 10. I'm going to say, even though there was some indulgence, exercise goals. I started a new training regimen, so that's going well. And motivation. So because of that, 8 out of 10 for this week. Not a 10, normal 10 out of 10. I'm feeling on most weeks.
Well, you had a really good stretch, and like I said, you'll be back right on track. But let's move into our email and comment section.
All right, our first email comes in from Tom.
And he wrote, I remember that Russ said he uses the iPhone app Livestrong, and I've really come to love the simplicity of this app. I'm sure you know the app actually syncs up with the Daily Plate website when you load it. And on the website, you can graph your weight along with your net calories for the day, and there's an option to make that graph public, just the graph, not what you ate. Since you are keeping it real once a week on the podcast, why don't you make your graph public so that we can see your progress and what calorie intake level it takes to lose at the rate you've been? Or possibly just plotting the last 1.5 years worth of data, if you have it, to show your weight loss journey. I recently started my descent at about the same weight you did, 295.2 pounds. I've made some progress in the last 4 weeks, 289.8 this morning, so I think my calorie deficit has been pretty good. But it's very demoralizing to see on some days when the scale ticks up as much as 2 pounds from the previous day. So it would be great to compare to your graphs to see if my efforts are worthwhile or if it's all just an illusion thus far.
Well, Tom, I do enjoy that Livestrong iPhone app. It's quite annoying to the people around me. I'll pull out the app and start putting all the food I'm eating there at lunchtime or, right after dinner, entering that in. It's going to become a ritual around the dinner table that Dad's putting his food in his iPhone again. But as far as, I have not looked into making that public. I don't see what benefit that would have, but I do track my weight over at Trainio. I don't do it on a very regular basis, but it's there if anybody wants to see it. Also, every week here on the podcast, up or down, I tell what my weight is. And we do have that information in our on our show notes. On our personal show notes that we use here for the show. And so one of these times we might get that into a spreadsheet, maybe on Google Docs. That would be one way to show that. But, I don't know, as far as the showing my actual calories eaten, I may do that, but I think we have a lot of information here. Maybe that's one little bit that we can leave to the imagination.
Well, I guess, Russ, you shared quite a lot with the listeners, but maybe if we just came up with some sort of basic spreadsheet where we just graphed what we've already told people from every show, just your weight. I know you had weeks where you went up and down and plateaued for a while and went down slow and back up, but I think it's good that if we have a nice spreadsheet, a nice graph somewhere on our website where people can see, you know, you've been on this diet for 2 years and you've lost 60 pounds and it's not all been easy, but if you stick with it, eventually get there. I think there's some benefit in there. What do you think?
Yeah, just seeing that that weight loss graph is nice. And I do use the iPhone app also, Fat Watch, to graph weight. And that has a nice little representation. So I could see how putting that information would be, you know, kind of a motivational for someone to see and for myself to see, hey, look at where you were. Look at this graph. Look at this that nice plateau and breaking out of those in the past. That would be nice to see that. And just really look back and as data, see how long it took me to get off those plateaus. And, you know, at this point, I don't remember half of what, of how long that plateau was.
Well, graphs don't lie, so it'll be really easy to see. So we will keep you posted when we do have a chart up on the website. We'll make a post that announces it.
All right. Next here, we have a voicemail from Nicole, and it's about being a vegetarian.
Hi, this is Nicole. And I recently discovered your podcast and website, and I love it. I started counting my calories and keeping a better track of what I'm eating. But my question is about, you know, as a vegetarian, what are some of the things that I need to be concerned about? I've been a vegetarian for about 3 years now, and now I'm starting to see that I have to eat more calories than it feels natural, but I have to be careful not to make sure they're not empty calories. But any tips or advice for people who decide not to eat meat, that would be great. I do eat seafood, and I consider that to be my concession to my meat-eating friends and family. But any tips on that would be great. Thanks. Bye.
Now, to get a proper answer about tips for people who are thinking about eating less meat, I contacted Jennifer McCann, who created that inspirational website called This Is Why You're Thin that we talked about on the last show. It turns out that she is not only a vegetarian, but an author of a vegetarian cookbook called Vegan Lunchbox, 130 amazing animal-free lunches kids and grown-ups will love. She also has a sequel to that cookbook coming out this summer called Vegan Lunchbox Around the World. I asked her to comment on Nicole's question, and she sent back a lengthy response of tips. So here are Jennifer's words of wisdom.
All right, and here's what she wrote. That's a good question. I think the biggest don't is don't assume that because something is vegetarian or vegan, it is better for you or even good for you. Potato chips and soda pop, totally vegan. When I first went vegan years ago, that's exactly how I ate. French fries, candy, etc., and hardly a vegetable in sight. Needless to say, I didn't feel too good after a while, and I certainly wasn't healthy. Avoid the temptation to fill the newly empty spots on your plate with foods made of lots of sugar and white flour, or with high-fat, deep-fried foods.
I would say the biggest do start out by educating yourself as much as you can. There are a lot of wonderful books and websites out there on vegetarian and vegan nutrition and plant-based eating. I highly recommend Becoming Vegetarian and Becoming Vegan by B. Davis and V. Melinda, and the website veganhealth.org as good starting points to learn more about vegetarian nutrition.
Some people might disagree, but if you want to be healthy, I would say the next don't is don't focus your new diet on fake meats. Nowadays, you can find soy turkey slices, sausage, hot dogs, cheese, chicken nuggets, bacon, etc., to the point where you could continue eating exactly the way you did before using all vegetarian replacements. When you replace the meat in your diet with fake meat, I don't think you're getting ahead nutritionally in the same way you would if you were replacing the old foods in your diet with whole plant foods. Fake meats are highly processed foods and are very high in sodium, and they also may keep you from branching out and experiencing new things.
That brings me to my next do. Do focus every meal on whole plant foods. Whole plant foods like beans, vegetables, fruits, and whole grains are nutrient dense, rich in fiber, low in calorie, and high in disease-fighting phytochemicals. Best of all, for those trying to lose weight, they are filling without being high in calorie. Other whole plant foods such as nuts, seeds, and avocados are not as low in calorie, but are nutrient-dense and satisfying. Daily servings in moderation will provide you with important healthy fats and help you feel full.
Sometimes a new vegetarian or a vegan can start to focus on all the things they can't have anymore, and that can lead to feeling deprived. So do add new healthy whole plant foods to replace every food you've given up. For example, shop for and try out new vegetables, grains, and beans. Look through vegetarian and vegan cookbooks and try new recipes. Visit ethnic restaurants and try out new cuisines. If you start focusing on what's new in your diet, you won't be focusing on what you can't have and feeling deprived.
Regarding supplements, do include a multivitamin that includes vitamin B12 and D to your daily diet, especially if you're switching to a vegan diet. You should also include daily sources of healthy fats, especially DHA and omega-3 fatty acids from vegetarian sources like flaxseed and DHA algae. If you're vegan, make sure you're getting a good source of calcium, like calcium-fortified juices and non-dairy milks, dark leaf greens, okra, almonds, etc.
Of course, a lot of people also worry about protein. But if you meet your daily calorie requirement by eating a wide variety of whole foods, you will probably be getting adequate protein without much effort. Good sources of protein in a vegan diet include beans and legumes, whole grains, soy foods such as tofu and tempeh, wheat gluten, peanut butter, nuts, and seeds. Vegetarians, of course, also consume dairy products and eggs, two more good sources of protein. Whenever I feel like I need a little protein boost, I also add a mix of hemp, pea, and brown rice protein powder to a smoothie.
Well, I think that was just a great response. We do a lot of research on every show, but this was a topic where neither one of us has much experience, and it was great that Jennifer could help us out. If you're interested in more details about the vegetarian lifestyle, we are going to be doing a show in late summer on that very topic. And Jennifer McCann has told us that she is very busy right now because of the publication of her next cookbook, but she will be our expert vegetarian guest on that show in a couple of months. If you have any burning questions about vegetarianism, send them to us, and we will make sure that it comes up in our interview in the future.
All right. Well, I want to thank Tom and Nicole for sending in that email and voicemail and for Jennifer's great response. If you'd like to get your question answered or send us a comment, there are a few ways to do that. The first way is by going over to the website, fat2fitradio.com, and leaving a comment.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
The third way is to leave a voicemail like Nicole did by going to the website and clicking on the Call Me button at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, now it's time to check out a couple of news items on the Web Report. Jeff, what are you going to dazzle us with this week?
Well, this week I found an article on zenhabits.net, and it was entitled 55 Ways to Get More Energy. And I'll read you some of the sample ones, maybe about 20 of these ideas. About half of them actually deal with what you eat and what you do for exercise, which is not really too surprising. The more you move and the better you eat, the more energy you will have. But there are some crazy ones in here. So here's a sample. The one that I found really neat was the first one they had, and it said, change your socks for refreshment. So if you do a lot of walking, just putting on a fresh pair of socks might give you some more energy. Another thing, work with your body's clock. So generally in midday, people's energy levels go down. So simply don't schedule something that's really brain intensive or physically intensive right in the middle of the day. Have an afternoon power snack. Suggestions like mixed nuts, non-fat yogurt, apple and peanut butter, etc. And they say to eat a lot of berries, especially berries that are red, blue, or purple. Taking a power nap, waking up at the same time every day can have a huge impact on most people's energy levels. Drinking lots of water. I know we've all heard a lot of these before. Using caffeine wisely. They say that don't drink caffeine later in the day. It's just going to keep you up later at night, which reduces your sleep, which gives you less energy for the rest of the day. A big one here was avoid energy drinks because they provide near instant hyperactivity boost, but they always result in a crash. And they say that energy drinks are like energy credit cards. You're spending future energy to get short-term energy. The resulting energy deficit gets worse until you hit energy bankruptcy. And of course, we said this a lot of times on the show, but eat low glycemic or low or complex carb foods. That's things like for breakfast, instead of having a sugary cereal, eat something like oatmeal that takes longer to digest. Eating smaller, more frequent meals, we always talk about that. I guess it also improves your energy. An oldie but goodie might be to splash some water on your face. Of course, you could always stand up, stretch, and take a couple of deep breaths. And we've heard this many times. Eat a satisfying breakfast, but a light lunch. You know, a big breakfast gives you energy throughout the day, but a large lunch might kind of make you feel sluggish. Choose protein over fat or carbs, because foods with more protein help you feel fuller longer. And this one, most of us are all trying to do anyways, shed a few pounds. If you're not carrying around a lot of extra weight, it makes it easier just to move around. And the last couple ones, move gym time to the morning. And this is something actually that I've been doing about the last week and a half. I've been doing about a half hour workout first thing in the morning. Usually it takes me up to lunch to truly wake up. And now, you know, first thing in the morning after my workout, I'm there. Here's an interesting one, simply dressing up. Feeling better about yourself has a magical way of giving yourself more energy. I know if I'm wearing a nice suit, a nice tie, and a cleanly pressed shirt, I kind of walk a little straighter, and that just might help you out. And the last one that I'm going to mention here, if you want a very quick, easy way to boost your energy, take a walk outside. Getting some fresh air and some basic exercise is going to help you. And if you are interested in all of these other 35 more ways to get more energy, we will have a link in the show notes to Zen Habits. So Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Well, an interesting article came across my desk this week about a woman in New Zealand, 23-year-old woman here, who lost 45 kilograms, about 100 pounds, in 8 months. Now, I think that sounds pretty good. Good job for her. No, she didn't do it the right way. She did it by drinking nothing but the energy drink called Red Bull. She would drink 10 to 14 cans of Red Bull a day. She dropped from 105 kilograms to 60 kilograams. It's 232-ish pounds to 132-ish pounds. 100 pounds of weight loss in 8 months just drinking Red Bull. Now, we had that email a couple of shows ago. Here is a way, Jeff, you can lose 100 pounds in 8 months. This person did it. But it was not without cost. The woman wasn't sleeping. She was just exhausted all the time. And the appetite suppressant in the Red Bull, it started making her addicted. She had to go in the hospital for 2 weeks to kick her addiction to Red Bull. And I don't know about you, but I see people walking around with these Red Bulls all the time. And I keep thinking, those things cannot be healthy for you. I never actually looked into what they are. There's really just a lot of sugar, something called taurine. I don't know what that is. I've not looked into all these ingredients, but it doesn't look natural. So anyway, this is not something you want to do. And definitely stay away from the Red Bull. It's not a good idea for a healthy lifestyle.
Well, I'm just looking at near the end of the article, and it's talking about when she was in the hospital being treated for severe withdrawals, she was sweating, nausea, shaking. It was a true addiction. And now she's saying that she's still suffering from a heart murmur, gets severe pain and cramping in her stomach and bowel, and suffers anxiety attacks. And this is just crazy, all from drinking this stimulant, you know, for 8 months straight. That just really screws up her body.
Right. And she's going to have, you know, repercussions for years to come, if not for the rest of her life, from drinking this stuff. It should not be the major portion of a diet. It should be, you know, once in a while, I need an energy boost for a meeting or something, maybe, or for a test if you're a student. But it should not be the main ingredient in your diet.
Well, I think it's funny, in my article this week, they were talking about don't drink these energy drinks if you want a boost in energy. It's just a short-term fix, and in the end, it really doesn't help you out. Your body will get accustomed to these stimulants, and you'll get less and less results from them.
Yeah, it's very similar to people who have to drink coffee every day in order to feel normal. And actually, you know, I had drank some coffee this weekend, and I had actually, you know, a couple cups of coffee on Saturday, and on Sunday I had none. And the family couldn't believe, like, well, usually people who drink coffee, you know, in the morning, every morning, have to have it to feel regular, to get through their morning. And I drink it because I enjoy it, not because I have to. And it's not every day. And so they're just amazed because they have to have their coffee in the morning.
Oh, for sure. Well, you were talking about not knowing what's inside a Red Bull, and that leads us right into our feature section this week, and that is all about nutrition labels. So part of making good food choices is knowing what is in the food you are eating, obviously. If you buy an apple, you know it's an apple. But how about applesauce? It's just apples, right? Well, maybe not. It's time to check the nutrition label and the ingredients.
Yeah, manufacturers are required to provide the ingredient lists and nutrition fact labels on any packaged foods. These labels are your tools in helping you make the healthier food choices. Becoming knowledgeable about how to read these labels will help you make better decisions about the food you buy and the food you prepare.
We have a lot of information here that we're about to present to you. We're going to tell you all about how to read labels, but also give you a lot of rules of thumb and suggestions about how much is too much of certain ingredients, for example. So we're going to go slow, and if you miss something like how many milligrams of sodium is a good level to be under on a label, for example, you can always rewind a little bit.
All right, so first, how to read the ingredient label. The largest ingredient in the food is listed first, and the one in the least amount is listed last. When deciding which foods to buy based on the ingredients list, there are a couple of rules of thumb. The first one is, if you have never heard of an ingredient or can't pronounce it, there's a good chance that it's a chemical or other unnatural ingredient, and then you should avoid it. The second rule is try to choose whole foods or foods that you can recognize all or most of the ingredients.
A few things to avoid when looking at the ingredient list are excessive sugars, fats, and oils. It's not always easy to spot them sometimes. Sugar could be hiding as sucrose, dextrose, fructose, corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, molasses, honey, or even bleached flour. Bleached flour, you say? Bleached flour isn't sugar, but it has very little nutritional value, and as a result, the body processes it just like sugar. Fats could be hiding in ingredients such as coconut oil, cream, hydrogenated soy, bean oil, hydrogenated vegetable oil, palm kernel oil, partially hydrogenated soybean oil, or lard.
All right, and now let's move on to the nutritional label. Now, the first component on the label is the serving size. It tells you what is the recommended serving size of the food you're about to eat. This section of the label also tells you how many servings total are in the package.
The calories section is next. Here you'll find the total calories per serving. Here is the first gotcha when it comes to reading the nutritional label. When reading the label, make sure you look at how many servings are in the package. All too often, even though the package, such as a sports drink, look like they're a single serving, in reality, there could be three or four servings in just one package. If you don't read the serving size accurately, you'll be eating more than you planned on.
Now, as an aside here, this was a gotcha for me. Vitamin water. There is like 30 calories in one serving of vitamin water in a bottle, but there are eight servings in a bottle. 240 calories when you think, hey, I'm only drinking 30 calories. No, 240. So big gotcha there.
Wow. Next on the label is fat. Total fat is represented and is broken down into saturated fat, trans fat, polyunsaturated fat, and monounsaturated fats. Trans fats are the worst of the offenders and should be eliminated from your diet. Trans fats are the ones that McDonald's and other fast food restaurants are trying to eliminate from their fryers.
Yeah, right above and adjacent to the total calories are the calories from fat. And this tells you how many fat calories are in the food. Ideally, you'd like to eat no more than 30% of your calories for the day from fat. Good rule of thumb is to eat a maximum of 3 grams of fat or 30 fat calories per 100 calories of food.
And the next thing you might want to look at is cholesterol. And cholesterol should be no more than 300 milligrams. The cholesterol is not broken down into good cholesterol, HDL, and bad cholesterol, LDL.
All right, sodium's next on the list here. And you should be eating no more than 2,400 milligrams of sodium in your diet. Sodium can be very problematic for those with hypertension or high blood pressure.
And the sodium and cholesterol numbers are based on a percentage of recommended daily value. The daily value, and this is the same information on every label, is based on a 2,000 calorie per day diet and should be adjusted up or down based on how many calories you actually eat.
So the next section on the label is carbohydrates. And this section gives you the total amount of carbohydrates in the food. Carbohydrates are further broken down into fiber and sugar. Now, when comparing foods in the grocery store, try to pick foods higher in fiber content and lower in sugar content. And here's another good tip. When looking at total carbohydrates, the closer the sugar gram value is to the total carbohydrate gram value, the worse that food is for you.
And protein grams are given. We've mentioned that you should eat a lean protein with every meal. If the food you are eating doesn't contain protein, pair it with some other food that does.
Now, the next section is the daily values portion of the label. That tells you how much the recommended daily allowance the food contains. Again, this is based on a 2,000-calorie diet. Generally, a value that is around 5% would be considered low, and a value of 20% or higher is considered high.
The vitamins and mineral section lets you know how many of the goodies you are eating with that food. You should try to consume 100% for all of the required vitamins and minerals per day.
Now, the last section we'll discuss today is the recommended amounts. This is a section that gives you the recommended daily amounts for each nutrient for a 2,000-calorie and a 2,500-calorie diet. The interesting thing here is there is no recommended amount for protein. The carbohydrates and fats are given along with cholesterol and sodium, but no mention is given for protein. Now, here's a little fun here at the end. One of my favorite things to do is to take the total number of calories and divide that into the total fat calories. Now, a lot of these foods say that they have 15% or 20% of your recommended daily allowance of fat. They are quite often entirely fat. For example, the serving size on salad dressing says it's only 5% of your recommended daily allowance, but can be 50 to 90% fat. You are basically eating pure fat. Now, that's not apparent when you're looking at that, because it only says that 5%, you think this is not a bad food. But what you are putting on that salad and adding on it is just pure fat.
Well, there's definitely a lot of information here. But if anything, if this gets people to take a second look at the nutrition labels on whatever they're eating, that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, every show we talk about, you know, look at the labels, read, you know, become informed. They are misleading. They're not exactly straightforward on these labels, especially in these daily allowances and these percentages. Getting that information so you can make informed decisions at the grocery store, it's a whole very important part of this, you know, healthy lifestyle.
Well, speaking of food, let's move on to the recipe of the week. And Russ, I see that this week you have a recipe that is going to make El Pollo Loco style grilled chicken. And I have never eaten there because we don't have any of these in Canada.
Yeah, we have them here all over California. And actually, when I was in Arizona, there was one there as well. But they're not everywhere. And it's too bad because you're missing out. Now, the key here is fresh grilled chicken with a marinade. And so I went looking for a recipe that kind of mimics that. There's always websites that'll give you kind of taste-alike recipes. Well, I found one here. It's got great stuff, just pineapple juice, lime juice, vinegar, garlic, and just a bunch of spices. And so I have done this chicken myself. I didn't put the garlic in it completely, but otherwise everything was in it, and it is delicious. Put that on the barbecue. That's the way they do it at the El Pollo Loco. You marinate that chicken and then put it on the barbecue. And oh man, it is so good. And I think you're definitely going to like this. It's the taste-alike El Pollo Loco chicken.
That sounds really good.
All right, Jeff, dazzle us with some homework.
Well, one of my biggest beliefs is that you cannot improve what you cannot measure. If your goal is to lose fat, there are many ways you can measure it. You could see how your clothes fit, take circumference measurements of various body parts, find out your body fat percentage, and of course, you could weigh yourself on a scale. The homework this week is to take your results of how you've progressed and make a graph to see how you've done over time. It doesn't matter if you do it on paper, in an electronic spreadsheet, or you find a place to do it online. If you ever feel discouraged about your progress, you can always look back to see where you've come from. A week or two where it doesn't seem that you've made any progress doesn't seem so bad when you can look back visually and see all the progress and where you've come from.
All right, excellent. And Jeff, I see we have a guest for our motivational quote this week.
That's right. And the guest for the quote this week is right out of this world.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
And so, of course, that was Yoda from Star Wars. And that's one of his classic lines, try not, do or do not. There is no try. And this really hits home for me when people talk to me and they say, well, I am trying to lose weight. And I'm like, don't try. Trying to win the lottery is like trying to lose weight. Actually do it. Losing weight is really just doing the same things day after day that make it happen. So do not try, actually do.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this show about nutritional labels and all that great information. Thank everybody for, again, sending those comments and those questions. All the links will be in the show notes at fat2fitradio.com. We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.
Good quote you have chosen, Jeff.